Kumalan Ablak Gemara, it's Erev Chanukah, Tovshin Pei Aleph. We are in the middle of the Gemara here between, we're trying to understand, we start off the Gemara by Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. They're both of the opinion that mashkin, that liquids, have the capacity to metame food from the Torah, not contaminate vessels and utensils, but food from the Torah. So we said that Rabbi Yossi follows Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva holds that the word yitma in the pasuk means it can be contaminate other things. So he goes as far as to say that by chulin, that a sheni can make a shlishi, and we then and so on. And Rabbi Yossi learns that yitma also means that it contaminates other things. And the pasuk is talking about drinking, and it says yitma, so obviously it's contaminating food. So we see from the Torah, liquids can contaminate food. And Rabbi came along and said that Rabbi Yossi definitely does not learn like Rabbi Akiva. Because we proved Rabbi Yossi holds that by chulin it only goes to a sheni, and by trum it only goes to a shlishi, and by kachim it only goes to a revi, and if he held like Rabbi Akiva, then by chulin goes to a shlishi. And using the kal v'chaimers that he had, he would have learned that truma goes to revi and kachim goes to chamishi. So Rabbi also said that Rabbi Akiva doesn't agree with Rabbi Yossi either, and Rabbi Yossi was only saying what Rabbi Akiva would have said, that according to Rabbi Akiva's, my Rebbe's view, yitma means to contaminate others. And we're saying Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi either, because if he held like Rabbi Yossi with all of these kal v'chaimers, he would have learned that by truma there is a revi, and by kachim there is a. In other words, we said a tful yom only passes truma, doesn't pass a chulin, and yes, so surely pass a chulin a shlishi should make a revi by truma, because a revi a shlishi by chulin is stronger than a tful yom. And then by kachin should be a chamishin, since we don't find any brisa that has such an opinion, so it must be Rabbi Akiva doesn't agree with Rabbi Yossi's kal v'chaimers, says the Gemara. Just because he didn't find a brisa doesn't prove anything. So we actually went out to look, search for somewhere that where Rabbi Akiva actually limits it to a shlishi by truma and a revi by kachim. So that tells us Rabbi Akiva does not agree with Rabbi Yossi. And this is where we're up to. They went out and found six lines on the top of the page. Actually, seven lines. Last years of the line. Nafak, Rav Ashi went out, Ve'itema, others say, Rav Kahana, Dok, they searched, Ashkech, and they found. Looking for somewhere where Rabbi Akiva clearly states, or at least it comes out, Rabbi Akiva holds, that by that even though he holds as a shlishi by chulin, by kachim, by trum is also shlishi, and by kachim revi. And where do we find that? At Nan, we learned in a Mishnah, Hakeli mitzaref es mashe betoche lekoidish. If you have a pot, and inside the pot, you have, for example, different foods of kachim. You have one corner of the pot, one food item, and the other corner of the pot, another food item, and they're not touching, they're not contiguous at all. And you touch one of them, automatically the other one becomes tummy as well. Why? Because they're both located in the same pot, anything inside the pot becomes tummy, at least by kachim. And we know that if food generally does not contaminate other food, as we had in the last few days, and food definitely does not contaminate a keli, even with the rabbanon, but nevertheless, all the food that's found in the same pot, they all become tamei, because the keli combines them as if they're all touching each other, as if they're all one. Says the Gemara, that's what the Mishnah says. Hakeli mitzad rasha teichel lekeidah, there becomes a kachim, we're so stringent that everything inside the keli becomes like one. Avaloi l'truma, but we'll not imagine that when it comes to truma. So by truma, if you have two items of truma sitting in the same pot and they're not contiguous to each other, just because one side of the pot or one of the items is tamei, doesn't automatically mean the other item is tamei. But a vi b'kodesh, puzzle by Kodesh, the end of the line is a fourth generation. It's puzzle going further, Bahashlishi Batruma. And by Truma, the end of the line is number three. So this Mishnah clearly states that Truma only has three generations and Kachim four. What's up to Rabbi Akiva? Because Rabbi Akiva says, how does the Mishnah know that all the contents inside the pot are considered one? Me'edusa she Rabbi Akiva nish Mishnah Zuz, all predicated on a testimony of Rabbi Akiva. So obviously, Rabbi Akiva, this Mishnah side Rabbi Akiva, it says clearly that by Kachim it only goes to the fourth generation and by Truma third. What's the story? It says, Hoisiv Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva added in his testimony that if you have inside there, you have seilas, flour, and potatoes, and incense, and levain, and frankincense, and gecholim, and kol. She'im nogat ful yoim b'miktasen, if a tful yoim touched any of them, pasul es kulon. It what? It all of them are possible, disqualified, you cannot use it. And you must, the only way that's possible is that all the contents inside one pot are considered one. Because otherwise, then each one, you know, let's say the pot is a Rishon. Then the pot touches the Seilas, that's a Sheni. The Sheni touches the Seilas, a Shlishi. Shlishi is a Vi. Vi is a Cholim, a Chamishi, and so on and so forth. Then you are going too far. The only way this is possible is that all of them are what are considered is inside the pot. It seems from Rabbi Kiva, there's no limit to how many things can become tummy. Why? It must be because everything inside the pot is one. And in that Mishnah where it says that everything inside the pot is considered one, it says clearly that by Kodesh we only go to the fourth generation. It says the mother, fine. But another thing, while we're talking about it, I want you also to know, first of all, it says here, the V in Chamishiloi by Kachim only goes down to the fourth generation, not the fifth. Shlishi in by Truma only the third Reviloi, not the fourth. Then the Mishnah Gemara says a new thing. Alma we see from here, Kesavra, they hold that Tziduf, this whole concept of the, you know, we're saying it's all based on the testimony of Yakiva. It doesn't say it's based on the Pasik. It means that this only thing is only Rabban. That it's all this chumra, that everything inside the pot are considered as if they're all one unit, is midr rabbanon. Upligan, this would argue with Rav Chanin, because Rav Chanin actually says that from the Torah. Why? Because Omer Tziduv, the nice he holds that this concept of Tziduv in the Torah, it says Kaf Achas Asarazov Malek Tzidus. This is the Nesim. It says that one kaf, that when we kaf achas, one spoon, we read it as if to say a kosev osa kol mashe b'kaf achas, kaf achas, everything that's inside, all the contents that's inside the spoon, that inside one vessel, are considered one unit. So we see that what? That from the Torah, that everything inside the vessel is in the tzarif. Yeah. And we also, we know it's Rabbanon because you go to the example they gave, kol. You know, how does coal become tame from food? Food cannot be metame coal. Food can only be metame drink or like food. And frank incense also is not really a food. And food cannot metame that. How can it become tame? So it's only, and the whole thing is Rabban anyway. and saying more further. Okay, saying more Tanahasa, we learned over there. Maybe now a new thing. The Gemara says, Tanhasa, we learned, Al Machat, if there was a needle, Shanim Tzas, that was found, Bibasa. If there was a needle, and we're talking about this Mishnah Eddie that talks about different, you know, witnesses, testimonies that people saw about things in basically many other places. If they found, let's say, in a carbon kachim, they found a needle. Now, we don't, and we don't know how the needle became tummy, as we will discuss later what made the needle tummy. And you found a needle, the shahasakin, if a knife comes in contact with it, or hayedayim, if your hand touches that needle, let's say the coin touches it, they still, they remain tahor. They remain tahor. But the basar, the meat that the needle is pricked into, that becomes tummy. And so we're going to find out what the cause of this tummy is, what the needle is, and why the hands and the knife are remain tahor. But the flesh, the meat, the food part of it becomes tummy. Rabbi Kiva said, Zechinu, first of all, we merited Shein Tumas Yadayim, we merited that the concept of Tumas Yadayim. Remember, generally speaking, we learn if your finger touches something, your entire body becomes Tameh. But the Rabbanu came along in Yud Ches Dover and said that hands are always moving about and you touch things that you shouldn't be touching. So we're going to be Machman and say that your hands are always considered Shnias, always the second, that's why you have to wash your hands. And that's why, because of Truma, we wash our hands today for bread. So that's called Yadayim. And that tum is only limited to your hands. We want you to be careful. It's only a tum in Midrabanan. So, and this tum in Midrabanan, if it touches liquid, it becomes a Rishon Midrabanan. So Rav Kiva said, thankfully, we eliminated this tumor of Yadayim in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, your hands remain tar. Otherwise, the koining will be very difficult to maintain the standard of tar and so on. that's why we're in the mission says that your hands are tar. Says the name. Why does Rabbi Kiva only talk about the hands? In the mission it said here that your hands and the vessel and the knife remains tar. Right? Only the meat doesn't. So he should have said, Rabbi Kiva should have said, luckily the name, he should have said, she ain't tum shidayim vikeli migdash. He should have said there's no tum of the hands, nor is it tum of vessels in the Beis HaMikdash. You know, the rabbanu ketumah in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what he should have said. And because he should include that as well, because it says you're a second. In other words, kelim cannot become tamei mahatorah only from an av hatumah. Food cannot be metamei kelim. But the rabbanon will gaze that kelim can become tamei from food, even though it's tor, or from mashkin at least. Mashkin can become tamei kelim mid the rabbanon. And here it says that the knife is tor. So you should say, thankfully, that the rabbanon didn't impose their tumah in the base of Mikdash. Why didn't say that? Yodayim, I'll tell you a simple answer. That this, the Yodayim, is Kaidim Gzeiras, Kael Nishna. There were two different Gzeiras. First, the Rabbanah came along and said that a person's hands are always considered a Shaini Lutumba, so you got to be careful with Truma and all that. That was one Gzeira. That happened early, and that's one of Rabbi Kiva's times. Post Rabbi Kiva, they made another Gzeira that liquids, only liquids, come in contact with a keli, even if liquids were tummy, even though mahatoira liquids cannot be metami a keli, the keli will become tummy. We want people to respect liquids because there are liquids, the emissions of the saliva from a zav or a zava, their liquids are actually an avhatuma. So we want people to be careful and respect liquids. And that happened afterwards. If Rebbe Kiva didn't mention anything about, in the Kiva's times, kelim were completely turned, mashkin couldn't be metami kelim, so therefore he didn't make an issue out of it. There was nothing special about the Beis HaMikdash. Everywhere it was the same thing, that liquids couldn't be metame kelim. Omer Rabbah, what are you talking about? Like, what kind of answer is that? Well, Tavayu Boy B'Yem Gozu, they both happened on the same day. Whenever it says Boy B'Yem, sometimes we say it's referring to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the day they opened up, you had yesterday, when they overturned, they impeached Rabbi Gamliel. But sometimes it's when they, when Gemara Shabbos, when they went up to the attic of Hananiah ben Chizkiah to reconcile, you know, Yecheskel, Tanakh Yecheskel, and everything else in the Torah, because of some psukim there that seems a bit incongruous. And then while they were there, they made enacted a number of decrees. And that's what that happened at that time. And the Yodayim was included, and so was Kalim. They both happened at the same time. So why, good question, why does Rabbi Kiva only, admire the fact that the hands were not tummy based on Midrash, and doesn't mention Kalim when the Mishnah clearly says Kalim? Says we murdered it. Now we learn, first of all, how do I know that? It says, HaSefer, the laws that are safer, interesting law that is, that if you touch a safer, your hands become tummy. And the reason for that is they used to put the hide, the sforim, inside they used to put the sforim with truma. You know, they thought truma is holy, so they wanted to keep it next to the sforim. What you did was you invited mice to come there. So therefore, they made this decree to keep people away and treat a bit more respect. The hands, and the laws at full yom, and the Gemara we discuss at full yom is from the Torah. But and food, and kelim, if they became kelim, they became contaminated with liquids, they also become tummy. Clearly here, that all happened at the exact same time. So good question, why don't we say thankfully that in the Beis HaMikdash we're not metamei kelim? Elamar Rabba, hanach l'tum sakin. This particular case of the knife, when there's no liquids here, there's meat. Food cannot be metame kelim. The kanur hacham is only the liquids can be metame kelim. So Gemara says here, the high sakin, the filuchul namila metame. Rabbi Kiva didn't make a big deal about the base of Mikdash. They didn't make the knife tummy, because even outside the base of Mikdash, they would not have made the knife tummy. Why? High sakin, look at my. What exactly did the knife touch? Elaim the nagabas of touching meat, ainach metame kelim. We know that even today, if you have tamadik of food touches a knife, the knife does not become tamay. It's only liquids of the rabbis that made it usher. Ella the nogam emachet. But there was no liquids. No. So the only two things that were there was either the meat or the needle. The needle touched, the knife touched the needle. So that's one keli touching another keli. Nu, vayin kelim tamay keli. One keli cannot be matame another keli. So therefore, as far as the knife is concerned, it doesn't matter based on mikdash or anywhere else, it would not have become tamay. As far as the the hands are concerned, outside of basic Midrash, your hands generate tumor. And therefore, over here, we say, thankfully, in basic Midrash, they didn't bring in these laws, introduce these laws of tumor in the hand. It says, you can modify. Hi, machet, my ability, how did this needle become tummy in the first place? That's metame in the meat. Enamus, suffering. What's the case exactly here? What's this needle? Why is it tummy at all? Enamus, suffering, macha. We don't know where the source of this, the origin of this needle is, whether it's tummy or tur, and that's why we're being machmer. One of them says, "Like Gozu al Sofik, Arukin Shibir Shalaim." One of them says that in Yerushalayim, if you found saliva, we don't say, "Oh, maybe it came from a zava or a zava," and we're going to be machmir. and the medical, because the spit, the saliva of a zov is actually ranks like an avatuma, and they can even be metame a person. But in Yerushalayim we were lenient, because I guess people live in Yerushalayim were much more careful than anywhere else. They were aware of koinim are around, so they didn't put their saliva out in the street. So therefore, we're generally worried. And the Chad, one says legozol suffik akem Yerushalayim. Another one says that on suffik kelim Yerushalayim also. We weren't so worried in Yerushalayim, because again, I guess people were careful. Didn't toss them outside. So I'm Rabbi Yudamarav. So where did this needle? What do you mean a suffix? If this needle is a suffix, we know that generally speaking, if you found a keli in Yerushalayim, a suffix keli, we're not worried that it's tamei. So what's the source of this needle? Why are we worried? I'm Rabbi Yudamarav. Of the lemacha tamei mace. You have a needle that touched a person. A person was an avatuma, and we learned before that chelal. Metal takes on the same status as its origin, so therefore there was definitely a tumbling person that touched the needle, so that needle is an av hatum, and we lost it. And now suddenly you found this needle in the meat, and you think you recognize it, that this is exactly the same. The obvious question is, if this needle is an av hatum, then why are your hands tired? It's not a question of the Rabbanon. Then if you touch the needle, your hand should become tamei, because an avatuma touches you. It's not just a question of the Rabbanon being machmir. It should become tamei. And the same thing is, why are your hands tired? says the Gemara, and furthermore, not only the hands, the entire kohen should become tamei. He touched an avatuma. The entire kohen should become tamei. And then when he touches the... Sitting more further, Rabbi Yosef Rabbavin answered, "Kigoyin shehoisa pora chasuma." He says, "We're talking about a suffix of a needle. We're not talking about a vada needle, because that is an avatum. We're talking about a needle. You don't know what the story is, but what's happened. But the reason over here is talking about is in Shulchan Yerushalayim. We're not worried about these needles. Kigoyin pora chasuma. Your animal came in muzzled." So the needle couldn't have eaten in Yerushalayim. He had to eat outside Yerushalayim. So because the needle came outside Yerushalayim, that's where the suffix happened. The suffix, therefore, we are machmir. It's only in Yerushalayim that we said a suffix keli is mutter. So it's a suffix needle, is only a suffix. And therefore, we have the dinner that we had. That's where how the origin of the needle. It's only a suffix. It's a suffix of keli outside Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara... one of them said, "There's a suffix of saliva in Shalim." We were not worried because they were careful. We're not worried. Roikin, I don't understand. You need two Amoraim to tell you that. Roikin, when it comes to spit, Tanina, it's a Mefarish Mishnah, and Kalim, when it comes to the din of vessels in Shalim, Tanina, we're also in the Mishnah. So I don't need the Amoraim. What are they adding that the Mishnah doesn't say? We're going to go through each one. So Gemara starts of rukin spit. Tanina, we read clearly. It says tonight we learn kol harukin hanim tzorim b'rishlaim. Any spit saliva you found in shlaim tohid is tohid. We don't think it came from a zov, because they would be more careful. They wouldn't spit in the street. Chutz mishal, unless it's talking about shuk elyon. They had a marketplace that was on top, somewhere high up, and that marketplace where all the tumbling people used to gather together because they wanted to segregate themselves. They shouldn't contaminate other people. They had social distancing. Everything else in place. So, if in Yerushalayim, we already know that saliva isn't, that suffix saliva is not tamei, so what do I need this amoda to add it on? Well, no, see, we need it. Afagav this chazik zov. We're talking about a case. What the amoda added on is, we saw a zov walking down the street, and then we find saliva on the ground. So the grounds, that maybe it came from the zov, and even then, we're not worried. So that's, that you would not have known from the Mishnah. Okay. So, Kalim, what about the other Amor who added Kalim to the universal of the Mishnah? Now we learn, call the Kalim to the Mishnah, all the Kalim found Yerushalayim, Derech Yedid Lebeis Atzilah, the two paths. One path to go towards the mikveh, and one to go away from the mikveh. So if you found vessels on the way to the mikveh, chances are that somebody was taking it to the mikveh to table it. So chances are that it's Tamei. And then the second part of the Mishnah says, and if you found it on the way out of the mikveh, then you assume that it already went into the mikveh and it's Tamei. So only on the way to mikveh is it tamei. Seems like hada alma, but anywhere else in Yerushalayim, tahayin is tahayin. So therefore, what's Amar adding? We see right here, any keli in Yerushalayim is tahayin. The only time we're doubtful is if it's on that path that leads you to the mikveh. Says the Gemara, if you're going to be so pedantic, according to you, aim a safer, read the next part of the Mishnah. It says, derech aliyah, but if you found it on the path away from the mikveh, then it's tohu. So make that same inference. Only if you found it on the path away from the mikveh do we say that you probably cleansed it and it's tohu. But anywhere else in Shlaim, it should be tameh. So therefore this Mishnah is vague and we don't know which way to learn. Is the Mishnah saying everyone in Shalim is Tameh? Or is the Mishnah saying everyone in Shalim is Tameh except on the path, out away from the mikveh? Now it comes to tell you no. That the Reish is the way is being careful. The Reish is being exact, and that is that only on the way to the mikveh is a Tameh. Anywhere else, Safik, we could assume is Tameh. But save lav davke. Well, Afuke comes to exclude also Gziyasa. It comes to include, they have all of these little side roads that people used to use, other shortcuts. And it comes to tell you that, so when it says in the end of the Mishnah, that on the way out of the mikveh is Torah, the chayit of the whole Yerushalayim is Torah, why on the way out? It means, you're right, generally Yerushalayim is Torah, on the way out is Torah, but we're not, if you have pathways or little, you know, around the mikveh area, that people usually try to take a shortcut, it's too busy the main paths, so they go through these side paths. If you found any pots and pans in those places, we are worried that the tamik, because there is no one-way traffic, you know, going one way or another traffic going the other way. But so therefore, it's possible that people are bringing kelim to the mikveh and don't do these little paths, these back roads. But everywhere else in Shalim is definitely tired. Says the Gemara, well, Rav, let's go back to the first answer of Rav. But he says, of the Lemacher, we're talking about a case where you lost, you knew a needle was tummy mace. And the way we understood right now is that a tummy mace, a person who was an avatum, touched the needle, which takes on now the identity of an avatum, of a killer, because you can recognize the meat, and yet you're paskin that your hands touch it, you turn. What do you mean? If my hands touch an avatum, then my whole body becomes tummy. Even though that the cherev has the same status as the adam, and therefore is v'keli nami l'tamei, everything should become tamei, because now it's an avatumah. So the needle is an avatumah, so why is the knife and the yadayim tar? Everything should become tamei. Because we know that an avatumah can be tamei, let's say a person who's an avatumah, he touches another person, even though it's like, it becomes tamei. If a keli takes on the status of an avatumah, touches another keli, the other keli becomes tummy. So l'cheder, why doesn't the knife in the hand tummy? Amar Rav Ashi, Zoyis Meres, so I can conclude only one thing. Since it's not 100% sure, it's a suffix. Azora d'shusarabmi, the courtyard where you're walking around with an animal in the base of Mikdash is considered a public domain. And what did we learn before? Whenever you have a suffix tum in a public domain, we learn from Saita it's lenient, because all Saita is a suffix, but everything they're done in private discretion. But if it's in a public place, we are makel. And therefore, since we don't know if this needle is really the same needle or not, so therefore we are makel. Now, what's the suffix? Or the suffix, we know that definitely it's the same needle, but we're not sure if your hand actually touched the needle or didn't touch the needle. You found a needle in the animal. And it's a suffix whether your hand touched it. Suffix whether the thing touched it. It's a suffix tum in the Shusar Abim. We are lenient. Again, Azor Shusar Abim, but the suffix tum in Shusar Abim is considered a suffix tum in the public place. Chosuffix tum in Shusar Abim, Sveiket tum. Whatever suffix tum in Shusar Abim, we're always makel. Says the Gemara. So, but what are you trying to say? Let's say it would have been in a shusa yachid, sveik tummy, and you're not sure if the knife touched the needle. The suffix is tummy. Mechti, let me ask you a question. I don't know why you have to say it to shusa rabbi. I have a general question. Hi, machet dover she'ein boidas lisholum. This knife. Okay, let's not talk about your hand. You're a person, so you should know if you touched it or not. So if you're like a soita and a suffix tumme would be in a private place of machmer, a public place of lenient. But the knife you can't ask any questions. So the knife is very different than a soita. Then even in a shusha yachid, if it's a suffix, if the knife came in contact with the needle, we would be lenient because it does not have a mind to ask any questions. And it's not like a soita. So l'chayda, hay mach, this needle, and not. There's two things here. The needle is the one who's disseminating the tumor, and the knife is the one who's receiving it. And we say both of them have to have das l'shol. So hi mach, this needle, dovashim l'shol, this needle has no understanding. You cannot ask any questions. So what? The chodovah she'ein boi das l'shol. Anything that, if the suffix is about a recipient of tum, that you cannot really ask any questions to, bein b'shusham, we're always sveiket toyer. Mishum da soluchay, that we should be lenient regardless. What do you have to tell me? Because it's Rabbim. Says the Gemara. Answers the Gemara. No, this is different. Should have a suffik tuma habor b'dei adam. This is a suffik tuma that comes through a person. Because who's holding the knife? Wasn't just sitting there. There's a person holding the coin. Was holding the knife. And therefore, if the question whether the knife came in contact with the needle or not is because the kohen was holding on to the knife, so it's ayide adam. Therefore, we considered it adam and shuziyach b'machmen shuzam b'mekel. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan says sofik tuma b'de adam. Rabbi Yochanan said, and Rabbi Yochanan said, this is the rule: a sofik tuma, even though let's say talking about a knife that has no mind of its own, but if it came by a person nish'olim aleh. We could ask questions. You can ask questions. It's as if you can ask questions to the knife because you're asking really to the person. And therefore, in Rishus Yachid would be stringent and Rishus Rabim would be lenient. That's why we have to say that Azora was considered Rishus Rabim, and that is why the knife, suffix the knife touched the needle or not, is Torah. And he goes further. Vafilu bikeli amunah gabekarka, and even if it's sitting. Let's say sitting on the ground, you have a vessel that's tar, and now it's questionable whether it came in contact with the needle or not, and you cannot ask any questions to this vessel. And let's say a person just brought it there, but he's not really handling it right now. Since it was brought there by a person, because therefore it's considered as if it has some, you can ask it any questions. And you would be machmer. So the same thing here with the knife. Says Gemara further. You said v'habasa tame. Then the other thing that you said was that the meat of the animal is tame, right? The meat of the animal is tame, and why? Because the needle is sitting in the meat. So the only thing that remains tame is the animal kutchin. Now the question is: remember, we learned before that food does not become tame unless it got prepared to mekabel tuma. How did it get prepared? It had to have some liquid. Which liquid came in contact with this particular meat that you're saying now that the knife, that the needle is inside that meat? Therefore, the meat is sofik tame. Hi, boss of discussion. My, how did it become prepared? Ready. If you're telling me that it was the blood, well, there's a lot of blood there, a lot of liquid. And we know that blood is one of the seven liquids. But we learned a few days ago, that there's two kinds of blood. How do you know that the blood of carbonus, the blood of a carbon does not have the capacity to prepare food for tumah? Why? Because it has to be blood that's treated like water. You just toss away. But since the blood of a carbon is not thrown away, it's sprinkled on the mizbeach, it's not treated like water, therefore it does not have the same status as water. It is not machshel lekabel tumah. So the blood that's inside this kachim, how is it machshel lekabel tumah? How does it prepare the meat? That if there's a needle inside, the meat became tumah. How? Minayin ledam kachim she'ein amachshel. I know that the blood of kachim does not prepare the food to be ready to susceptible for tumah. It says le'sechlenu, do not eat the blood. Ala ores tishpechenu kamayim. We should pour it out on the ground just like water. So dam she'nishpe kamayim. Any blood that you toss away, that you get rid of, machshel prepares food, makes it susceptible to tumah. Aber she'ein nishpe kamayim. If you don't throw it away, ein amachshel does not prepare the food. Vela. So how in the world did this animal's meat, you're saying that became tumah? What prepared it? How did it become wet? Let's say they rinsed out the animal with liquids in the butcher, in the area where they chop up the meat. And therefore the mashkim of beis mechayah prepared the meat. And then the needle fell in there somehow. Says the Gemara, it was there the whole time, but now it's susceptible to me. Says the Gemara, but we just learned previously that testimony, that the liquids found in the butcher area, not only are these liquids tar, because we're not going to make them tum, they remain tar, like we learned through Yosi ben Yeez's testimony, but more than that, they don't even prepare other food for tumah, if that's where the liquids are found. Ella, you're right. You know what it is? We have a new interesting concept. And that's called the iskash. You know how the meat became prepared? Bechibas ha-kodesh. The fact that we treasure this meat so much because it's a carbon, that in itself makes the food susceptible, knows ready to eat now, it's already done. Usually you need some liquid to wash it out to make it ready. Here, the fact that chibas ha-kodesh, the love that we have for sacred things, that in itself prepares the food that now it's susceptible to mekabel tumah. Says the Gemara, so that's what it is. So by animal, by kachim, we don't need the meat to be prepared. The fact that we love the we treasure it, that in itself prepares it. Says the Gemara, aim with the mahani lechibas hakodesh. What do we? When do we say that lechibas hakodesh helps lifsul gufi? Okay, so the animal should become tummy. You want to also say that it becomes tummy to the extent that it can now generate tumor further and turn it into a rishon and turn it into a sheni. Is that what you want to do? Where do you find that? And if you say that, that's what it does as well. It says in the Mishnah here, and the basar is tummy. If the pshat is that it's chibas hakodesh, that because we treasure it, therefore it's prepared to mekabel tumor. But if that's how it became prepared, it's only tummy for itself. It cannot disseminate in the tumah. So it should have used the word basar pasul. Remember, pasul is the end of the line. By saying basar tummy, that means that basar can now continue to spread the tumah because by kachim it goes to revi. Now, if you're going to say, and yet it says tummy, which means that you hold that it has a status of rishon or sheni, it can continue to disseminate meat. So let's tifshid. We should have then resolved the question of Rish Lakish. The boy Rish Lakish asked the question, Tzadit Shemanachas, by a carbon mincha, the flour offering, we put oil, there's liquid there, but not all of it, the oil doesn't really permeate everywhere. So you have lumps of the mincha that is dry. So he wanted to know, Tzadit Shemanachas, so you have a dry part of the mincha, and the oil never came in contact. Moinin by rishon a sheni oloi. Does it have the status of a rishon and a sheni or not? In other words, can it pass tumah? If, let's say, if you touch the wet part of the mincha, do we say the dry part of the mincha also becomes tameh and can pass on tumah or not? And according to you, anything in the base of Migdash, chibas hakodesh, forget about the oil. The fact that I treasure it should make it not only that it becomes tameh, susceptible to tumah, but it becomes a rishon and a sheni, it passes on tumah. Why don't you answer that? So you want to answer, you right. You know what we're talking about here? You know why the meat became. It's not because of chibas hakodesh. You know why this meat became tameh and why it spreads a tumah? We're talking about a cow that was supposed to be a carbon shlamim, and what do you call it? And because the cow is a shlamim, which is different than other kabbanas, by an oil, for example, the hide goes to kohenim. But by a shlamim, the hide ends up with the owner of the animal. And most of the meat ends up with the owner of the animals. He takes more care of it. And he wants to make sure that the hide remains nice. And he wants to make sure he can get as much meat as possible. If it goes to the kohen, he doesn't really care. And we know, we have a thing we learned in Chulin, Mashkan Sabahemoth Ne'er Shchita. If you make an animal all wet, and you give it to drink as well, before you shecht it, then the hide comes, strips off a lot easier. So he makes sure he takes it through a river or something before he brings it to the base of Migdash. The Havidah Benor, he passes the river, the Shachta. And when they shechted it, Adayin Mashket Tefechle, there's plenty of liquids on it. And that's why the meat became susceptible to Tumah, because you have all those liquids that were on the skin that ended up on the meat as well. And Nimtzas, okay, and therefore, and that's why it is Tameh. Okay, so that explains why. So we explained over here that we just analyzed our Mishnah. So if you found the needle over there, we're saying that the needle passes the tumah onto the meat, and the meat became susceptible to tumah because the meat became susceptible to tumah. The meat became susceptible to tumah because it was wet, it went through the water. We're talking about a needle that touched a person, so the Adam is comes like an Ava tumah. But since it's doubtful whether your hands touched this or whether the Keli touched it, so a Suffolk tumah in the Shusha Rabbi in the courtyard, we are lenient, and that is why we are lenient. And there is Das Lishol here because a person put it there. And so therefore, Yadayim and the Sakanak Atar, the bus is what's considered Tameh. And we'll continue tomorrow, Mr. Shem. Tomorrow the sugya more or less finishes. Okay, so.